We live in a very fast-paced society. Even here in rural West Wales, life is tending to become much, much quicker. Instant communications lead to almost instant reactions. At the dawn of the 20th century, when the Royal Navy ruled the oceans and seas of the globe, the saying was, "Send a gunboat whenever there's a problem." 6 weeks later, when the gunboat arrived in the war-torn area or in the place where the problem arose, things would have settled down. People would have had time to work out the results of their actions and would have come to logical conclusions that perhaps it was not a wise thing to do. The mere threat of retribution was sufficient to resolve many a problem, particularly when the threat was a long time coming. Today, the situation is far more serious and far more acute. Instantaneous communications bring instantaneous responses. While the blood is still hot, on the boil, a switch can be thrown, a missile can be launched, a city can be targeted. And then, when the blue touch paper has been lit, there is absolutely no time to retire. You cannot just bring the thing to a stop just like that. A century ago, the fastest form of communication in this country was a telegram or a letter. 5 or 6 days for a response was not uncommon. Today, I can send an email or speak to somebody on the telephone. The answer comes back more or less instantaneously. It's more like, as I say, it's more likely to be instantaneous than anything else. Unless I'm dealing with a bank, that is. That seems to take ages. Added to these problems, two questions arise, because many people today appear to be woefully lacking in common sense. It makes one wonder if people are rational anymore, or if people have any patience to wait just a few minutes for a response. There is, as one minister put it, a zeitgeist, or a spirit of this age, which has become very apparent in recent years. Then, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans, we won't turn there, it was in chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there are two separate and distinct spirits abroad in the world today, one which is decidedly antagonistic, and the other which is peaceful. And it's so, it is in the light of this, in this day and age, that we need to exercise a far greater degree of self-control than ever before. Too many people nowadays expect everything to be done almost before they have made a request for something to be done. It is their right and the inalienable dictate of the society in which we live. And when something goes wrong, woe betide anyone who's standing in the firing line. It is in this context that we have to realise that the way that we speak to each other is of paramount importance. It is the mark of the way of life of a Christian and shows whether the spirit that is leading us is of this world or is of our Father in heaven." I remember attending a Spokesman Club meeting in Brighton. That was many years ago now. And the topics master was putting his topics to the club, and he asked a question. And the question he asked was, "Which is your favourite scripture?" At the close of the meeting, the acting director for the night went through the club proceedings, and then he told us what his favourite scripture was. And his scripture, which he found, which he liked, was the one found in Proverbs chapter 15 and beginning in verse 1. We will turn there. The reason that he gave was that as the manager of a large branch of a nationally known company, he found this scripture to be a genuine help when he was dealing with disgruntled customers who had a complaint. It was, he said, too easy to respond in kind, and I think we'd all agree with that. But using the advice given in these words paid dividends beyond the normal anticipation. Here, in Proverbs chapter 15, we find the advice given in these words, and it paid those dividends which the director of that evening found were so useful. And so, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, pardon me, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The man related to the men attending that evening how on many occasions a belligerent customer with a valid complaint had phoned him and was turned into a satisfied client simply by his giving a soft answer, a reasonable answer, and a peaceful answer. And apparently, despite the genuine complaints, many of those customers remained as loyal customers to that branch for the remainder of their dealings. The soft answer smothered an angry conversation, and on almost every occasion led to a spirit of reconciliation and satisfaction. A piece of advice that Mr. Bowles gave some time ago in relation to emails and other written communications was that we should read what we have written as if we were in an angry state of mind. If the words then sound abrasive or grating, we should rephrase the words until such time as we are sure that no offence can be given. The same is true of the words that pass our lips. We should think before we reply. And we need to remember also that the tone of our reply often speaks volumes more than the words that we actually use. And if the words that we use are given in a spirit of peace, it will obviously bring great rewards. We need to remember that the tone of voice used does cause offence more often than the words themselves. Turning to the words of the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans, chapter 12 and verse 18, we find an instruction that will stand each one of us in good stead with those with whom we interact. If we constantly speak harshly to others, we will find that they will usually respond in kind. But if we are led by a peaceful spirit, the results will be beneficial to all concerned. It is simply cause and effect. Here are the words of the Apostle Paul, as found in Romans 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. One of the easiest ways to live peaceably begins with speaking peaceably, or softly, as the proverb says. We need to always remember that the way we react to others, or the way that others react to us, depends very much on the words that we are using and the spirit in which we are giving those words. The spirit which leads us obviously brings out either antagonism or it brings out peace. Common sense, a commodity which is becoming increasingly scarce in this day and age, tells us that if somebody is really looking for an argument, he or she will usually find it. The only way to deflect this kind of attitude is to give a soft answer, to extricate oneself from the ensuing situation as quickly as possible, and to do our level best to live peaceably. To be led by a spirit of peace requires that we keep in constant contact with the King of Peace, in order to be led by that spirit of peace. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ gave a series of truths called the Beatitudes. These are found in the first few verses of Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitude that I would like to draw our attention to today is found in verse 9 of chapter 5. If the answers that we give are soft or conciliatory, to smooth a conversation, and our attitude is one of trying to be peaceable, then these words could well apply to us. It all boils down to the Spirit that is leading us. Here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, we read the words that Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, gave. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Being a peacemaker demands that we acknowledge and submit to a higher authority. For us, who would like to experience life in the coming kingdom of God, that means that we submit to living by the code of conduct that God has decreed. The prime requirement is to be led by the Spirit of God, because if we are led by His Spirit, we will be led by a spirit of peace. We will do our level best to live with all men peaceably. We will endeavour to suppress argumentative impulses and try always to give a soft, peaceful answer. In that way, we will become peacemakers, for as many of us are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. And if we are peacemakers, we shall be called the children of God. So much of this depends on how we respond to others. We all need to think before we reply to somebody, especially when they are coming at us in a belligerent frame of mind. Nothing that I have said is new. It has been with mankind since creation. It is, in many respects, down to common sense. It is up to each one of us to be peaceable, to be peacemakers, and to give peaceful answers. My problem is that even when I endeavour to live by this code, the tone of my voice oftentimes speaks many times louder than the words that I use. I'm trying to deal with that aspect too. It does not really matter how people speak to us, but the way that we respond to any provocation is vital. So we need to be peaceable, to be peacemakers, and it is often begun by giving a peaceful answer.